Welcome back to the Blooming Basics for Z, VM, and Linux on System Z Part 2 teleconference. I will turn the call back over to Julie Leisenfeld. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Tamika. And welcome back, or thank you for joining us for our final session today. Our final topic is ZVM Order, Install, and Service Overview. Again, the handouts are posted on the ZVM T3 website, SSI, and Partner World. And if you're on SSI, just look for the ones with the date of 06-23-10, Part 2, A, B, and C. Carol and Tammy will be doing this session, and they're going to take Q&A at the end. So, again, please jot down your questions if you have any. And, Carol, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Julie. Here today with me is Tammy Zabrowski-Darrow. Tammy and I both work in the ZVM development organization, working on installation and service, making sure you can get the product and get it installed onto your system. I'm going to skip over the trademark page and the disclaimer page. These are normal presentation charts, but we don't need to talk about that. I'm sure you heard that enough today. And we're going directly to chart 4, which is the agenda for what I'm planning to cover today. The topics that we're going to cover are ordering the ZVM package, what you would get in the package when you order it, how you go about ordering it. I'm going to give a basic overview of how you install VM, some of the decisions that you have to make when you're installing it, what you have to do once you get it installed in order to be able to use the different features that come with VM, and then we'll talk about what kinds of service are available for VM and how you install that service on VM. The last chart in the package is some reference websites, and the package that's out on the web, as is normal for a PDF file, the highlighted, underlined things are links to websites where you can click and get additional information. So turning to chart number 5, we'll start off with ordering the ZVM product package. This is where you need to start when you're going to get VM and put it on your system. So how do I get VM? You order VM through the product package. It's called the System Delivery Offering. The System Delivery Offering is made up of several pieces. The first piece, of course, is the ZVM product itself with the pre-installed base components. Part of the pre-installed package are the free features and the priced features for ZVM, and part of the SDO that you can order is also other IBM licensed products. The advantage of the SDO package is that the group within IBM that puts the package together pre-installs service for the licensed products. So when you order the SDO package and the additional licensed products, you get those additional products with the software service that makes it current as of the SDO offering already installed. That can save you an awful lot of work down the line. How do you order the package? You can call IBM at 1-888-SHOP-IBM, or you can use the IBM Shop Z Series website online. We have a couple of shots of that later on in the package. Also, the links for IBM Shop Z Series are on the ZVM homepage. So you can click right from the ZVM homepage to get to that website to make your order. When you make your order, you have to make some decisions. Hopefully, you've thought about these decisions before you get to the website. But what kind of decisions do you have to make? First, you need to decide if you're going to order the product on tape or DVD, or do you want to get it electronically? If you order for tape, you have to install the product on 3390 type DASDI. If you intend to install your VM system on SCSI, SCSI DASDI, then you need to order the DVD. You can't use a tape to install to SCSI DASDI. If you want to get the product electronically and avoid all physical media, what you'll get is a zip file that is the image of the DVD. So you would follow the instructions that come with the product for installing a DVD. and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. What else do you need to decide? You need to decide what priced features that you want to order. Four products that come pre-installed on the VM product but have a price and a separate license associated with them are Dermate for directory maintenance, the RACF security server for ZVM, the performance toolkit to be used for performance monitoring, and RSCS to support networking. Other choices that you need to make are if you want to order any other IBM products. You might need the compiler C and C++, or you might need the high-level assembler so that you can make updates to your system. All the products that you can order are in the SDO product lists that are available on the web. The two links on Chart 5, version 5 release 4.0 and version 6 release 1.0 take you directly to the SDO website so you can take a look at what products are actually part of the package. Turning to Chart 6, on this chart I'm talking about what you actually get when you physically order the product, what would come in your package. You get the installation media itself, which will either be a tape, three DVDs, or if you order electronically, you'll get a note from Boulder that tells you how to FTP the zip files to your workstation. All of the installation media contain the pre-installed ZVM product, the pre-installed priced and unpriced features, and the very first service RSU for ZVM. The way we build the product, we can't always get all the last little things into the base product, so we come out with initial service to make sure everything works. You'd also get program directories. If you get physical order of DVD or tapes, you'll get hard copy of the installation guide for VM, the program directories for VM and the priced features, and also for TCP/IP. And you'll get program directories for any other products that you ordered with the SDO. You'll get what we call the license document, the LID, that gives you the terms and conditions for VM. There's a product publication DVD that includes the publications for ZVM product, all of the features that come with ZVM, and pretty much every product that you can get that can run on VM. All of that's packaged up into the DVD. You can order hard copies of the manuals, but I'm pretty sure that's expensive. The DVD itself contains PDFs, so if you need a hard copy, you can print anything that you need. For any other licensed products, some of them are available, most of them are available actually electronically. So if you were to do an electronic order, you would get information for pointing to their program directories, as well as information for pointing to the VM and related product program directories online. The additional licensed products, if you ordered any, will also have, they might have an installation guide, but usually that information's covered in their program directories. On chart chart seven, there's a screenshot of step 3 of the ShopZ ordering process. Steps 1 and 2 were basically logging in and telling it where I wanted to order the product for. Then I selected that I wanted to order VM. And if you'll notice under the product selection for the VM base product, I selected the ZVM version 6 3390 system DDR. That has a black circle and a black diamond. In a different place on this screen, it tells you that the black diamond means that the product is available electronically. it confuses people that the diamond it goes with the system DDR when actually what they're getting is an image of the DVD, but it really doesn't matter. It's the product is the product. Even though the formats are slightly different, it's all the same stuff once you get it and install it. And you can see that pre-selected on this screen also are the four priced features. Well, three of the four are there. You can choose not to order those and click the boxes off. When you click to go to the next step, or I'm sorry, you'd scroll down. This is the rest of that screen, more of that screen. It shows you additional pieces that would come with your product, and then it also starts the list of products that you could order as part of the SDO. As you can see, most of those are available electronically as well. And you make your selections, and on chart 9, we're finally getting to the step where we specify the type of media that we want it to be delivered on. I selected internet delivery, so what would happen after this point is I would get an email from IBM telling me that my order was ready. And then I would come out to the Shop Z Series website to pick up my electronic order, and that would have the instructions on how to download the product and also the pointers to all of the physical papers that would normally come with it. It would point me to those online. On chart 10, we start off with, now we've got our product, we have to install it. You can install your ZVM product first level directly into an LPAR, or if you already have an existing VM system, you can install your new ZVM second level. First level is the only choice that you have if you don't already have ZVM installed somewhere. Even if you do have ZVM installed, you might want to do a first level install, but usually second level is the choice that people make when they already have VM, because it's a little simpler to do a second level install. You don't have to get access to the hardware management console, so it makes your life a little bit simpler. If you want to run test workloads with your new VM prior to putting it into production, it's usually easier to do that second level where you can access resources from your first level system. If you don't have an extra LPAR available on your hardware for installing first level, then you'd want to choose second level for your initial installation. And also, if you want to run the ZVM migration utilities that we provide, you need to have your system running second level. You can only run the migration code between a first level and a second level system. You also need to decide, you probably already have decided, where you're going to install this, on 3390 type DASD or on SCSI volumes. If you ordered ZVM on tape, as I said earlier, you can only use 3390 DASD. The installation process supports DASD sizes of Model 3 and Model 9. You can use other size volumes, but we're only going to use the amount of cylinders associated with each of those two DASD types. If you're using a SCSI volume, you can specify any size volume that is larger than 3.5 gigabytes. But again, we're only going to use up to 10 gigabytes per volume. So if you specify something larger than 10, we'll only use the first 10. On chart 11, the guide for automated installation and service comes with your order, and it provides step-by-step instructions for installing ZVM. Part 1 is the part of the book that you would use for doing a tape installation. Part 2 is the part of the book that you use for doing a DVD or an electronic installation. regardless of first or second level, we've divided the book so that you follow the instructions according to the type of media that you're using. Each part contains the requirements that are specific for that type of installation. For example, for a tape installation, you need to have access to tape drives. So we make sure that you've got tape drives. We make sure you know how much virtual storage you need on your first level system and your real storage for your first level system. For DVD, you need to have access to a specific level of hardware. Those things are documented in each of the two parts. Parts 3 and 4 of the installation guide cover post-installation tasks, things you need to do once you've got your system installed, and also contain the instructions for using the automated service tools. This book is only for the ZVM product deliverable. That is the base ZVM product and the pre-installed products. Other products that you might get with the SDO will each have their own installation instructions. At the very least, you would start in their program directory, and they might point you to an additional installation guide. Every product has its own packaging, so you need to read the program directories to get the information that you need. Turning to Chart 12, I've included a sample of the planning worksheets in this presentation. The planning worksheets really are geared toward stepping you through the installation process. It provides you a way to record the information you're going to need as you go through the install process. It asks you what type of installation method you're going to use. This first chart is the worksheet for a tape install. So you need to record whether you're doing first or second level. You need to select where you want to install the product. VM supports installing onto mini disks or installing a mixture of mini disks and shared file system. To select where you want each of the different products to be installed, you select your language. VM supports installing in American English, uppercase English, version 5, release 4 supports German and Kanji, and version 6 only supports Kanji. The DASDI type and model that you're going to use, you can record here so you'll have the information available when you have to answer the question on the install panel. And then finally, you need to record the DASDI addresses that you're going to use because you'll need to provide that information to one of the installation execs. Excuse me. On chart 13, this is a screenshot of the planning worksheet for a DVD or electronic media installation. As you can see, the layout's very similar to the tape, but there's a few additional things that we have you write down. For example, the SCSI DASDI size doesn't apply to a tape because you can't install a tape to a SCSI DASDI. You need to know what this size is going to be so that you can record it on the planning panel when you run the installation planning program. So you write it down here so you have all your information together in one place. Another field that's different here is the path name to get to your DVD if you're using the whether or not you're using the DVD from the hardware management console for a first-level installation or if you're using an FTP server that's running on a Windows workstation or on a Linux workstation. VM also lets you upload the code from the DVD to a VM mini disk so that you can use this mini disk for loading your code for your new system. That option is only available if you're doing it second level, but you can record the address of the mini disk if you're going to use that option. All of this is explained in great detail in the installation guide, and it walks you through every step, including filling out the worksheet. The table 9 that's at the bottom of this chart is where you can record the information. If you're installing to SCSI DASD, you can record the information that you need in order to define those SCSI DASD volumes. 3390 DASDs are usually predefined by your DASD administrator, and all you need is the DASD address that they've defined. The SCSI volumes can also be defined that way, and if they are, then you don't need to fill all of this information out. But if they aren't defined and you need to define them yourself, then you have the place here on your worksheet to record that information. Some of this information, like the WWPN and the LUN, the WWPN is the worldwide port name, and it's 16 characters long. So you want to have that written down so you don't have to try to remember it, and so you can make sure you don't make a mistake when you're typing it in. On chart 14, once we've got our system installed, we have to be able to, this covers some information about what is actually installed from the product DDR. The deliverable contains the 9 base components that make up the traditional VM system. That would be CP, CMS, GCS, the REX programming language, LE for use with compilers, the dump viewing facility, TSAF and AVS for communications tools, and VM-SESI, which is the service component for VM. There's 5 additional unpriced features. TCP/IP, which used to be a separate product but has been packaged with VM for a while now. Every customer wanted it, so we put it in the package. The ARIP program, which is for recording errors on the system. ICK-DSF, which is used for formatting DASD and I think formatting DASD is the main use. HCD and HCM, which you would use to manage your hardware, additional hardware, DASD devices, that sort of things. And the OSASF product, which is Tammy? Okay, it's there. It's a channel. It supports channel programs, I believe. I don't use it myself, but I install it. Then there's the 4 disabled priced features. DIRMAINT for directory maintenance, as I mentioned earlier, the RACF security server, RSCS for networking, and the performance toolkit for performance monitoring. Pretty much every component that you install on VM needs some amount of customizing and configuring in order to get the best use out of that component. The priced features, before you can use them, have to be enabled. And then, once they're enabled, it can be configured. On the ordering screen, you saw that we had those priced features checked off. You have to specifically order them in order to get the information for how to enable the product. When you order them, you're given a license for those products, and then you're allowed to enable and use them. If you did not get a license for the product, you are not allowed to use it. Information on that is in the program directories, though, and when you get the product, then it's a pretty simple matter to enable it. Once you've got it enabled, you need to configure each one of these priced features and customize them for your own environment. On chart 15, we'll talk about servicing at a very high level. As I mentioned earlier, as part of the install package, you get the first recommended service upgrade. That's the service that IBM has recommends to all customers that they install on their system. They 2 types of service for VM. The main types are corrective service, which consists of individual program temporary fixes that are developed as a result of customers calling in problems through the service and support functions of IBM. The PTFs are developed and they're made available, and you can order an individual fix. But as customers order these fixes, IBM keeps track of it, and periodically we come up with a thing called an RSU, a recommended service upgrade, that includes service that a lot of the customers have ordered for either problem severity or just it's a good thing to put on the system. Everything that we think is the right thing to put on the system, we would include on the RSU. The products that are serviced on the RSU are the ZVM base components and all the products that come pre-installed except ICK DSS. ICK DSS has a separate order, separate service process, and you can read all about that on
ARIP
has a separate service product. Thank you, Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is discussed in some fashion on the service website. The service website is the link that's on this chart 15. It provides information on RSU contents, what PTFs exactly are available on the RSU for each product component. Throughout the life of the service life of a VM release, we develop RSUs every 3 to 4 months, and the RSUs are cumulative. So if you were to order VM after VM, say, version 4 release, or version 5 release 4, which has been out for a while, and you order the latest RSU, you would get all the service that was on all the previous RSUs as well as the latest level. On the next chart, chart 16, there's a screenshot of some of the information that's on the ZVM service resources page. We have service news, important things that we need to tell you about VM, anything that would be considered a red alert. There's service hints and tips, things that have come up over time that maybe customers had a little question about or a little confusion. There's information on how to use VMSES tools to find your current service level so that you know what service level to order when you're going in to order a new RSU. There's information on the RSU contents. And there's information also here, links to the ZVM, the SDO, so you can go directly from here to the SDO pages and find out what other products are available. There's also links to program directories and the what's called the preventative service planning buckets. The buckets is a historical term, but it takes you to a website where you can read about important things that we need to tell you that aren't necessarily code. And or it might also point you to code that you need, but it's also got information that maybe we found something out that you need to do, and so we'll put it out there. It's very important that you go out and check the product service planning buckets when you get a new VM system before you install it, just in case there's something that wasn't code-related, but you do need to do it. That has happened in the past. Turning to chart 17, the VMSES, I mentioned earlier, VMSES-E is the service component of the ZVM product. And there's a lot of commands that make up the VMSES-E component. And all of these commands were a little confusing to people, to try to remember how to do all of the service steps that were required. So several releases ago, we began combining the commands into overall execs to automate the service process and make it simpler for customers. The service exec can be used to install core service, that is the individual PTFs, or to install RSUs. if you were to use the VMSES tools, that you would actually need to use two different commands to install a core or to install an RSU. Service makes it easier for you because it's just one command to do both. The service exec will ensure that you have all your prerequisite service installed before you try to put on new service. If it isn't there, it tells you that it's not there and stops so that you can go and get it and put it on and then pick up again with the new service. And it also ensures that you put the service on in the correct order. There is an order to how the different components of VM should receive service. There's dependencies sometimes, say, between CMS and LE. There's some code dependencies, and you might need to put a fix onto one component before another fix goes on to a different one. If you were putting on an RSU, all the service that you need would be in the RSU, and it would be getting put on in the correct order. Once you get your service installed, the service exec will put it on what we call test build disks so that you can try out the new service before you actually put it into production. To put it into production, we have the put to prod exec. The put to prod exec will copy the serviced parts that you put on with the service exec. It'll copy them from the test build locations to the production locations. It'll rebuild all the saved segments for you that need to be rebuilt, and it'll move the new CP load module onto your production PARM disk. These are all things that you could do without put to prod, but they're labor intensive, they're error prone, they are processes that aren't particularly well documented. If you've been around VM for a long time, you know how to do this, but for new people, people just learning VM, using the automated tools, makes life a lot easier. It remembers all the things that you forget to do. Turning to chart 18, of course, there are a few other service tasks that are a little less mainstream that you might need to do, such as doing local mods. But we do have an automated local mod exec. To the local mods and local service are things that, for example, a vendor product might have you need to put on a local mod in order to tie their product into the main VM functioning. So the local mod exec makes sure that all the correct tables in SAS get updated so that the service process will know you have this local mod. When you run service and put to prod, there's a command called VMF view, so you can look at your service logs and see what all the results were. There's inventory files that help VMSES manage the system, and the VMF update command will let you take a look at where you have your different components stored. There would be VMF update using the syssuff operand. Also, we ship service memos for some service because you might need to know about something in particular. Maybe you need to increase a disk or go and manually update a profile for a service machine. So you use VMF update and the sysmemo option to go look at service memos. There's a status option on service so that you can get the status of an installed RSU or a PTF. You can give it a PTF number, or you can just say service all status, and it will tell you the RSU level of every component in the VM pre-installed stack. If you, for some reason, were to need to rebuild an executable, maybe somebody accidentally erased something and you need to rebuild a module from the source files that are on the system, you can use the service build option. If you need to resave your segments for some reason, you can also use service build nuke, right? Or no, service build segments. If you need to rebuild one of your nuclei for CMS or GCS or CP, you use service build nuke. And finally, if for some reason you need to remove something, for example, a local mod so you can put new VM service on, you use the VMF rem command. That will automatically, again, it goes out, it finds all the parts associated with the local mod or the PTF that you're removing, and takes them out of the part, rebuilds the parts without them, and then tells you that it's done so that you can maybe install your new service. After your new service is installed, you can reapply, put the local mod back onto your system. This last chart, chart 19, is a list of references. I covered a lot of topics at a very high level today, just to give you an idea of all the different parts that are involved with installing and servicing ZVM. This final page has a reference to the VM homepage and to the library, which contains the links for all the VM manuals. There's a link here to the service webpage, and the specific publications that would be of interest to you for installation and service are the Guide for Automated Installation, the Service Guide, the VM SESI Introduction and Reference. This book contains everything you'd ever want to know about every VM SES command there is, and also gives you an overview of how service is, how the service is, the whole philosophy of service. And finally, the program directories for the individual products. Okay, that concludes my prepared remarks. But and now, Julie, I'll open it up for questions.
Thank you. Before we get to your questions, we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer this question. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please rate the overall effectiveness and value of the call. If it was very good, press star 1. If it was good, press star 2. If it was fair, press star 3. And if it was poor, press star 4. And we'll pause for just a moment. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. And once again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question today. We do have a question from Pam Christina.
Hi, Carol and Tammy. I just wondered if there was something that people trip over when they're, especially people who are coming back to VM after having been away for a while, is there something that they might trip over that they used to do that they shouldn't be doing anymore? Would you have any recommendations for them besides read the documentation?
Pam, thank you for your question. Actually, yes, there is. And the main thing that they do trip over is putting service onto VM. I mentioned that we have written these new automated commands, the service command and the put to prod command, and those commands are documented in the Guide for Automated Installation and Service. We do have the service guide, which documents all the old steps, the way you would perform everything by hand. But the automated commands that are documented documented in the Automated Guide for Installation and Service are really the preferred method, and those are the commands that we continue to enhance and add new function to. So people that are coming back like to go back to the old commands, but that's not really the best way to be doing things today.
Thanks, Carol.
You're welcome. Thank you.
As a final reminder, that is star one to ask a question. And there appear to be no further questions at this time. I will turn the call over to Ms. Leisenfeld for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks, Tamika. Carol and Tammy, thank you so much. I think people will be able to figure out how to order and start on service and installing. Those are great charts, and they'll be able to walk through that. So thank you so much for your work today. And Tamika, we'll go ahead and close out the call early. Look forward to seeing any of you tomorrow.
And that does conclude today's call. We thank you all for your participation.